Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Last week we discussed about how people come back and what would be their different situation on the day of resurrection. Some of them are disfigured, some of them have light on their faces, some of them have dark faces. Now, one verse which specifically talks about the light being with mu'minun is the verse in Surah Tahrim 66, يَوْمَ لَا يُخْذِ اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبَأَيْمَانِهِمْ. On the day when Allah will not let the Prophet down and the faithful who are with him, their light will move swiftly before them and on their right. They will say, "Our Lord, perfect our light for us and forgive us. Indeed, you have power over all things." Now, there are several concepts which are mentioned in this surah, in this verse of the surah. One of them, which is very important, is that on the day of resurrection, the mu'minun offer their dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا. Our Lord, perfect our light for us. And it means that even dua on that day would be useful, if a person can actually make dua on that day, a faithful person, that would be useful. And they ask for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still, when they have light, when they are moving with their light, they are still asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing which is very important is that Allah describes that day as a day in which He will not let the Prophet down and the mu'minun who are with him, meaning that everything returns to the Prophet. It is a day in which Allah would support the prophets, as he mentioned in another surah, "Inna lanansuru rusulana wallazina amanu fil hayati dunya." We will support our messengers and the believers on this, in this world and in the hereafter. Wa yawma yaqumu al ashhad. And here he says, it is a day when the prophet is not let down. And whatever he wants with regards to his followers, we will give him. And this is actually a very clear verse about the shafa'ah of the Prophet, asking for his followers to be taken with him as they make the dua. Okay, we end this chapter when we come to a very difficult chapter, and that's the book or kitab, which is a concept which is used in the Quran very frequently about many different things. And it is really very difficult to categorize and classify different aspects of this concept of the book, which is also used for the book of actions, which concerns us here about the day of judgment. Now, different usages of the term book in the Quran. The first of all is the astounding book of creation. A book that Allah mentions, which is there, and every single atom of this creation is recorded in that book. And what does this mean? We will explore shortly. Now, first of all, about that very amazing book, Allah says that وَمَا مِنْ غَائِبَةٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. There is no invisible thing in the heaven and the earth, but it is in a manifest book, كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. So, there is a book, just use your imagination. There is a book before Allah's eyes, so to speak, that He can strove to just let's use our imagination. And in that book, everything about the creation is written. Now, we know that this creation goes in time, and things unfold and develop during the time. So what we have today, we didn't have a million years ago. And what we will be having in a million years later, we don't have it now. Now, tell me about this book. Is this book being completed? Is it written after the creation unfolds itself? Or it is written before the creation unfolds itself? What do you understand about this Kitabun Mubin, a very clear book, in which everything pertaining to this world, related to this, to the world of creation, is recorded there? Which one do you think?
I think it's an infinite book. God created the universe infinitely.
Yeah.
It may manifest in different time zones. It's just like we say God knows the past, the future, and the present, and so...
So the book is before time?
Yes.
And in fact, the time is recorded in that book, in itself. So it's a book which comes before the creation, rather than after the creation, and that's why it's so clear a book. It's not something that allows wait for things to happen, and then recorded in that book. No, things would happen according to what is written in that book. So this is a very amazing thing. And it's just like the center from which, like the, say, the chromosomes of a human being from which the human being would develop. That's the chromosomes of all this world. However, it is not as complicated as we understand from our science. It is a very, very clear book in which everything is recorded very clearly without any complication. Yes. Yeah, again we come to this question of how does that... Well, even the freedom of will is written in that book. I mean, it's not something that would forbid your freedom.
I think it is because you can't conceptualize something.
No, you cannot conceptualize something which has no time. I mean, if for Allah there is no time, He is not waiting for us to decide whether we have to go to hell or we have to go to paradise. He has already decided about it. But there is no already there. For Allah, everything is instant. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا وَاحِدَةٌ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. Our affair, when it comes to us, whatever we do is just like a blinking of an eye. Just one instant, a split of a second, everything is created, everything is finished already. You can see yourself already in hell or in paradise, inshallah, in paradise, all of you. I mean, God is seeing you now where you are standing in paradise. Because for Him there is no time. And for us it is difficult to imagine that. And therefore always this question comes, whenever the issue of the book is brought up, the question of free will and predestination comes. Is everything predestined in this world? Well, of course, everything is predestined in this world, including our free will. It is predestined that we should have free will. And it is predestined that by that free will, we will find our place in paradise or in hell. It is predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows already where everyone are going. So why all these troubles? Why you have to go through these processes if you already know this?
We can't complain.
We can't complain. He's not waiting for us to complain or not. I mean, our nagging amounts to nothing for him.
No,
he's
got the evidence.
Why should he want the evidence?
We have to do it with our actions.
Hmm?
We have to do it with our actions.
Prove it. For whom?
For us. To ourselves.
To ourselves.
To be kind to Allah and then Allah will be with them.
No one can speak before Allah. I mean, you can't say you have done injustice to us or not. I mean, it's not something that we can. Yeah. But the, an injustice is done here now because this doesn't have sugar.
Allah is funny.
Yes.
One of the examples I think you gave was it's like a seed for a tree.
Yeah.
When you have a seed, you know exactly what that tree will be. But you still have to go through the process of planting the seed and growing it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, for example, you want to create something, to produce a car in a factory. The moment you want to establish the factory, you want to build the building, bring the machinery, everything, you know what you are going to produce already. But it's not produced. You have to produce it. And this is why the whole thing should go. Yes?
Why do you produce it? Why do you want to see what the tree looks like? You know the tree, you know what it's going to turn out to be. Then why go?
Well, you want, I mean, you put the seed in the earth, you know what it's going to turn out to be, but you want the tree, the shade, the fruit, and everything. Well, that's another question. That's completely another question. Of course, he doesn't do it because he needs it. And this is what explicitly has been mentioned in the Quran and our reasons as well. He doesn't need it. He never creates because he needs. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلْ. He never takes a friend because he doesn't have friends, because he's humiliated or something like that. He takes friends always out of dignity. He is dignified, he is not in need of any friend, of course. But he takes friends because of his characteristics, not because of the need that he has. And the same thing about creation. It's because he is merciful and he wants to give from what he has. And that's a completely different issue then. However, this process is necessary. Yes?
Why does he then create man? He sends freedom.
He has not created badness or evil. He has given us free will to choose. And free will means that we can choose between good and evil. We can choose to do things rightly or wrongly, as he can. I mean, some people think that God doesn't have a free will in the sense that we have. But he has it. And if he wants to bring about evil, he can. But he doesn't want it. He doesn't will it. He doesn't want it. The same thing he has given to us. So that he makes us as an example of himself. As it is mentioned metaphorically that God created human beings after his own image. We are his image actually. So we should have it. And when we have it, then of course we create evil. When we create evil, then that evil should be taken away from his creation. And that's what he says, that he will take the evil, he will put it together, compress it, فَيَرْكَمَهُ فَيَجْعَلُهُ فِي جَهَنَّمُ, and put it in Jahannam, and close the Jahannam so that the whole world, the whole paradise is free from evil. Now, this book, Kitabun Mubin, so this is the creation when it is not unfolded yet. It is a real creation, that book. But it's a creation which is not unfolded yet.
You say Allah doesn't create evil, he creates goodness only, right? But who creates evil, then surely he creates goodness. And if evil is a byproduct of goodness, where does evil come from?
Exactly, it's what you said, it's a byproduct.
Where does it come from?
It's just a byproduct. You see, when you want to produce, say for example, a machinery which is made out of metal, then you have lots of bits and pieces of metal that you have to sweep every evening and just throw it away. And that is a byproduct of the shaping of the metal, putting it in the frame, and all these. Now, this process of creation and free will given to people, and of course contradictions, counter forces coming against each other because of the nature of the creation, it would create evil. It would create badness. It would create relative things which are good to some parts of creation, bad to some other parts of creation. And then, if you have free will, you can use all these things in a bad way, and then you create evil.
So you're saying evil is an element of goodness?
It is a byproduct.
But then you create that, you create everything.
Yes, he creates everything, but he creates evil as a byproduct of his creation. You see, evil is something which is relative. Okay, you don't have an evil which is totally evil. It's always relative to something else. So what he produces is always good, but relatively, when we look at it and we use it, it will turn into evil. Now, just example in our daily life, for example, our tongue is a very blessed thing given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whatever other part of your creation you might imagine. However, this tongue is given to you and the free will. You have learned how to speak, and that is another very blessed favor of Allah, a gift given to every human being. And you can use this tongue, you can speak, you can say what you want, what you mean. However, the byproduct of this is that since you have free will, and since you have jealousy, which is again a byproduct of another very good blessing in you, and that is the blessing of wanting to improve all the time and go further, then you put these together, you produce something which is evil, and that is, you, for example, dishonor people, swear people. This is just a byproduct of all these blessings. The good blessing given to you as speech, you cannot say there's evil in that. The free will given to you, there's no evil in it. The attitude of self-protection and self-progress is nothing evil in it. However you put all these together, then of course ignorance comes in, and ignorance of course is not the creation of God, it's just lack of knowledge that you don't have. Then you create a byproduct of all these good things, and it will become evil, it will turn into evil, yes.
I mean, in fact, if you think about it, like that, then you can actually say that there is nothing which is evil. The only thing that's evil is people's souls, but people themselves, there's not an object. So you can't say God is evil, or a computer is evil, or a car is evil, or anything like that. And the evil comes from the way we turn our souls. So Allah has given us the free will. We can choose good, or we can become evil. But we can't, He hasn't created anything else.
Exactly. The evil is our attitude towards things, and the way we use them. That's the evil thing. And our attitude is as such because God has given us a very, very big gift, and that's free will. I mean, it's all byproduct of blessings and good things. And then we turn it into evil. Okay, let's see a few other things about this book. In Surah Saba, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَأْتِينَ السَّاعَةِ. The faithless say the hour will never come to us. قُلْ بَلَىٰ وَرَبِّي لَتَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ. Say, yes indeed, by my Lord it will surely come to you, the knower of the unseen. My Lord is the knower of the unseen. لَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْهُ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Not even an atom's weight escapes him in the heavens or in the earth. Now, how it doesn't escape him? Because you can see these things by paying attention to them, by finding them, but for Allah it's all in a book before his eyes, so to speak. Of course, this is just using our own language. So, and not even anything smaller than that, weight of an atom, no bigger, illa fi kitabin mubin, but it is in a manifest book before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't wait for things to unfold to know them. It's already there. And it unfolds again according to the knowledge of Allah that He knows. There's no animal on the earth but that its sustenance lies with Allah. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. With the exception of human beings, isn't it? Because this is up to us, as we think. We think that our rest is with us, we have to strive for it and earn it, and therefore some of us become rich, some of us become poor. But if you believe in this, we really put away all these ignorances. There's no animal on the earth but that its sustenance lies with Allah, and He knows its enduring abode and its temporary place of lodging. So, مستقرها, which is in the hereafter, ومستودعها, which is in this world. He knows everything about it. كل في كتاب مبين. Everything is in a manifest book. Again, this is the book of creation before unfolding. Now, if someone, yeah, of course, we are Dabba as well in a sense, because we move. Dabba means anything that moves. Of course, here it says animals, but Dabba is anything that moves.
Every living thing that moves.
Every living thing that moves, yeah, is a Dabba. Again, in the very famous verse of Salatul Ghufayla, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. With him are the treasures of the unseen. Well, mafatih, better term for it, are the keys of the unseen. No one knows them except him. لا يعلمها إلا هو. Now, you might say that, well, this is a proof that the prophets and the imams should not know these unseen. But, however, yeah, Allah can teach it to people, to human beings. Initially, no one knows that but him. لا يعلمها إلا هو. ويعلم ما في البر والبحر. He knows whatever there is in land and sea, and no leaf falls without his knowing it, nor is there a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or withered, but it is in a manifest book. Again, it's in a manifest book. Yes.
Are there any further descriptions of this book in the Quran or in the other?
It's also called Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book, to which everything returns or refers, or from which everything is begotten. It's a level of creation which is before the creation of the world, or before the creation unfolds, so to speak. Not only the creation, even things that are going to afflict us, good or evil, they are also written in that book. However, we are not sure about it, therefore we are always worried. If we are sure about it, we get calm, we get اطمئنان, and we become نفس المطمئنة. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. No affliction visits the earth or yourself, but it is in a book before we bring it about. That is indeed easy for Allah. Inna ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Free will, predestination, our striving. Yeah, there are two different things. I mean, let's go further. By the mount, وَكِتَابِ مَسْتُورِ, and by the book inscribed on an unrolled parchment, فِي رَقٍ مَنْشُورِ. Now, this is a very metaphorical verse at the beginning of Surah Tur. By the Mount Sinai, of course, as they say, Tur. And a book which is inscribed, already written. فِي رَقٍ مَنْشُورِ, on an unrolled parchment. Well, it means that it is already rolled. There is a rolled parchment there, which is the mother of all creation. And then it's unrolled and everything is written on that. This is the lawh, of course, they say. And the Qalam, which is a very, very huge angel that has sinned everything by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very metaphorical, of course. It's very difficult to understand the meanings of it. Sometimes these verses are only for the Prophet to understand it. One feels that it's only for the Prophet to understand. Really, we cannot figure out what Allah is trying to tell us. Well, Allah never tries, of course. He just does whatever He wants. Just our language we use. Now, this is sometimes called the original book, Ummul Kitab, or the mother of the book. And it is used in many different verses. Hamim wal Kitab al Mubin, Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan, la'allakum ta'aqilun. We have made it an Arabic Quran so that you may apply reason, and indeed it is with us in the mother book, and it is surely sublime and wise. La'aliyun hakim. It's very sublime when if you grasp it in that book. However, it has come down, it has put in different concepts, wordings, and now you understand it. It has come now into an understandable language. But if you go above language, if you don't use concepts and come into that original book, then you would see it's a sublime book, perfect wisdom which is there. However, when it comes to words, then you have mutashabih, muhkam, you don't understand all verses of it. So in Ummul Kitab, if you come and see this Quran, it's something else. In Ummul Kitab, if you see the Prophet, is something else than in this world. And in Ummul Kitab, if you see yourself, then you would love yourself. However, you unfold in this world, in another book, the book of creation, of course. And also, in that Ummul Kitab, nothing changes. The changes, the additions, creations, confirmations come after that. In that original book, nothing changes. It means everything is as it is going to be. Everything is fixed in that original book. As it says, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Then they say, this kitab, Allah effaces and confirms whatever He wishes, and with Him is the mother of the book. They say the mother of the book is above another book, which is the book of effacing and confirmation. That Allah writes things, then you make a dua, He changes it for you. He destines for you something, for example, that you have to live 60 years, you make a good thing, He changes it to 70 years for you. And that's why sometimes people who have access to the unseen, the prophets, the imams, they say things that they change. They change. And because they see this lower book of mahw, al-mahw wal-ithbar, things are deleted and added, confirmed and deleted in that book. They don't have sometimes access to that original Ummul Kitab in which everything is fixed. And it means that all these confirmations and deletions are already calculated there in Ummul Kitab. And it's fixed. Then when it comes to a lower stage, things start to change, to be deleted, to be confirmed. And the people, I have seen sometimes people say things about the unseen, and it doesn't come true. Not that they are not truthful, but because their knowledge goes only to this lower book. And Amir al-Mu'mineen mentioned in Nahj al-Balagha, that if there was not one ayah in the Quran, I would have informed you about everything in this world that's going to happen. And that's this ayah, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Allah will delete, efface, or confirm things. And however, the original book is with Him, and this is where your actions come in influencing your destiny. Your du'as come in changing different things in this world. Even sometimes the dua changes very huge things in this world. Of course, something is written in this lower book, and your dua would change it. However, could your dua change anything in written in Ummul Kitab? No. So, what is the use of the dua then? For the lower book. But, of course, the lower book is not changing anything in the higher book, is it? It's already calculated. Your dua is already calculated in the higher book. So, it's not the case that Allah changes His mind when you make a dua. You see, it's already calculated that you make this dua and Allah will change your destiny in the lower book. However, this is already contained in the higher book, in Ummul Kitab.
So why have two books?
Because this is the process of unfolding of the creation. Because then, if nothing changes, then what is the use of our free will, what is the use of our du'a, what is the use of evil action and good action?
But you just said that in the lower book where you can change things,
yes,
the other book has already taken account for it. Well, one is the purpose of the other, really, because if it's already, the two are linked, aren't they? So
yeah.
I still don't see why you need, well, why there are two books. Because one is linked to the other, so anything you do in the lower book...
Because that higher book cannot accept change. That's fixed. Okay. Now, when something is fixed, then you cannot bring time in. However, the unfolding of creation should be related to time. When time comes in, then you need a lower book, in which time is taken into consideration, and people's free will is taken into consideration. So, in fact, we don't go from here upwards. We come from the higher book downwards. We unfold ourselves. And then, again, we return, of course, to where we belong already. Yes?
So you're saying that our ultimate destiny is fixed, but actually the path that we take to that destiny can be affected by the actions that we do every day.
Yeah.
So today, if we do dua, we may have been destined to go around one way, but the actual, the path to that actually changes as a result of that, but the actual end path is the same thing.
There's no end and no beginning.
No, but the ultimate destiny in terms of how we,
how we
progress.
Of course. You see, tell me one thing. Does God know that where I am, I will be standing in hell or in paradise? Does He know it now?
Yes.
He knows it now, isn't He? Now, is it because He has the knowledge of the unseen, or because He doesn't have the factor of time? So when there's no factor of time, there's no beginning, no end. So all these decisions we make, free will, actions, everything, it is meaningful for us. It's meaningful for Him. Everything is already fixed. When He created us in hell or in heaven. Now you might say, why? I mean, how come? But we cannot imagine a timeless creation or a timeless being. That's why we are so confused about it. Yes.
The lower book. Is it only Allah who is hexed, or
is anybody else in that? No. As I said, Amirul Mu'mineen says, if it was not for this lower book, I would have informed you about everything. It means that he had access to this book.
But not the Mu'mineen.
Ah, maybe some people have. You don't know. Maybe. But it's very difficult to tell. In the Quran, we have that. It says that man indahu ilm al-kitab, the one who has the knowledge of the book. But we don't know which of these books he's talking about. Knowledge of any of these books, of course, gives you lots of power and knowledge. Lots and lots of power and knowledge. And of course, you cannot have access to these except if you are really, really purified. You have a purified soul, yes.
Okay.
Day of Judgment, when there is no open court. So then the prophets do not have access to that. Because no one knows the day of.
Yeah, of course it has. But yeah, prophets don't have access to that part of it, which talks about the moment of the Day of Judgment.
Is this the same as
Lawha Mahfuz? Lawha Mahfuz, yeah. Lawha Mahfuz is Umul Kitab. It's protected from change. That's why it's called Mahfuz. It's protected from change. No change comes into it. In fact, this is how, you see, these different stages is how a being without time and change is related, is connected to a world which has time and goes through change. This is the most difficult aspect that philosophers have ever addressed. How a being which has no time and does not undergo any change would relate or connect to its creation, to his creation, which has time and undergoes changes. So these different books or different levels of creation would make that connection. In fact, this lower book, which is the book of Mahw and Ithbat, is connected in a way to Ummul Kitab. So Ummul Kitab has two faces. One face is related to God, in which does not accept any change. The other face is connected to this lower book. And that lower book accepts changes due to one aspect of Ummul Kitab which is connected to it. Very difficult for us to understand. And if you do not understand it, or if you do not understand it, let us not blame ourselves, because it's not for us really. Our minds cannot analyze things which has no time yet. Through many different means they had access to it. Sometimes by mediation of angels, sometimes without mediation of angels, sometimes their soul extended, so to speak, reached out to it. Because human soul, as we discussed before, is a very, very complicated phenomenon. And it can reach out to even to Ummul Kitab sometimes. And most of the times to that lower book, of course, many people, many human beings can reach out. However, for others, it would be through angels. For some others, still, it might be in dreams or something like that. All of us have some access to this lower book, of course, by genie. Our dreams are some sort of access to that book of Mahw and Ithbat, of course, not the Ummul Kitab, the book of Mahw and Ithbat. Sometimes, however, whatever is in the book of Mahw and Ithbat is exactly the same as what is in the book of, what is in the Ummul Kitab, because no change comes to it. And this is when the true forecast comes about the future. Now, those with the knowledge of the book, this very famous verse at the end of Surah Ar-Ra'd, say, Allah suffices a witness between me and you, and he who possesses the knowledge of the book. Of course, he would suffice us as a witness as well. So, he who possesses the knowledge of the book is a witness to what the Prophet said. In fact, he confirms it. He approves of what he says because he understands it. In one other verse, which is more understandable for us, of course, the story of Suleiman asking his wazir or his ministers to bring the throne of Belqais from Yemen, and of course, first a very vicious jinn, qala ifritum min al jinn, tells him that I will bring that throne to you before you end your session. أَنَا عَتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامَكَ, before you stand from your position, because you, or your throne or whatever, because of course he needed some coin to bring that soul. However, a human being, just to contrast him with that afritum min al-jinn, that vicious jinn, a very good human being told him that قَالَ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. I will bring it to you before you blink. And as soon as he finished his sentence, the throne was there. Because then he says, فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ. So as soon as he finished, he saw the throne is there. And this person, of course, had this power to do it because he had a knowledge of the book. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك ترفوك. The one who had knowledge of the book, or better to say a knowledge of the book, not the whole knowledge of the book, said, I will bring it to you in the twinkling of an eye. Of course, this is not a very big deal for the people who have a knowledge of that book. It makes them something like God in terms of knowledge, because God looks into that book. They look into that book as well. And that book is not written thing, of course. It gives you the means to change things in this world. You would find a type of wilaya in this world. This is the discussion we have in al-wilayat al-takwiniya, because we say the a'imma, the prophet, had two types of wilaya. One wilaya is over the tashri', the legalities, legal things, the rulings of sharia. Whatever the prophet says, of course, is the word of God in terms of rulings. That's wilaya tashri'i. Yeah, and the other type of wilaya is a wilaya, a superiority or a power over the creation. And of course, this is a power over creation, isn't it? This man had a power over creation that could bring that soul. Of course, it's not a general type of wilaya over everything, but partially you can find it in the Quran, approved by the Quran. Now, this was about the general book of creation. However, then we have a smaller book in this very big book. In fact, we have chapters of this book, which are called books in themselves as well. Big chapters of this book. Now, one very big chapter of this book is the book of human records. Actions of human beings are recorded in a separate book. And of course, that is something which we could call it a part of Ummul Kitab. However, this is meant for a type of applied purpose on the Day of Judgment. This book is then given to you on the Day of Judgment as your personality. In fact, it is something that you will find out about it on the Day of Judgment, this book of human records. So let's forget whatever we discussed about the Ummul Kitab and that book of creation. Now come to a completely different topic, and a new topic about the book of human action, which is an amazing thing as it will unfold for us. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Indeed, it is we who revive the dead and write what they have sent ahead and their effects which they left behind. And we have figured everything in a manifest imam. Now, the nice thing about this book of human records, this one, is that it's written after you have performed your actions. After you have performed your actions, this book is complete, is written. It's therefore completely different from the original book of creation, in which everything is already there, and things unfold from there. Then, when they unfold, they are again recorded in another book, especially your actions. and they are given to you on the day of judgment. So this is what we understand from the verse, that نَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا, we write whatever they have sent forth and whatever they have left behind. وَآثَارَهُمْ, well, this is of course very famous, what we leave behind, what we sent forth, and the things that we leave behind which will work for us later and afterwards in terms of good and evil. And everything we have collected or figured in a manifest imam. Of course, this imam is different from the imam that we understand. That imam is something that you would go after it. And that book will be your guide on the day of judgment where to take you. Here the imam is the book of action. Now, this book of action, of course, Allah says, we write it for the people. Whoever does righteous deeds, should he be faithful, his endeavor shall not go unappreciated, and we will indeed write for him. Inna lahu katibun. Yes.
In fact,
we can interchangeably use imam and book. And this gives a very nice meaning to Hadith of Thaqlain, that the Prophet said, I am leaving with you two precious things, two weighty things. One is the book, and the other is my Ahlul Bayt, because one is Imam in terms of interpretation of the book, and the other is the book, which is leader of the people, and again it's Imam. So the Imam is the book, and the book is the Imam. And it's used interchangeably in the Quran as well. Yes. Ahsainahu means we have gathered, we have figured, collected. Ihsa is to completely collect different bits and pieces of information, if you want to. Oh, you mean why is the past tense is used? No. According to grammatical style, it is permissible to use the past tense for something which is going to happen in the future, if you want to denote the certainty of what is going to happen. So here God says that we will write, and in the following verse it says that, do they suppose that we do not hear their secret thoughts and their secret talks? Yes, indeed, and with them are our messengers writing down. They write down for them what they do. Again, they are, what these verses tell us is that the book of our action is in the process of being written, and the authorship of that book would end, or the author of that book would put the pen down as soon as we pass away. We don't. By the moment we die, the book is complete, and then it's kept for us to be given to us later on. However, how that book is written? إِنَّ رُسُلُنَا يَكْتُبُونَ, our messengers write down. How do you think these actions are written? And why are they written? I mean, it's in knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's also in Umm al-Kitab. Why are they written? Yes, of course we have to get our book, but what's the use of it? Why should we get our book on the day of judgment? To read it, or? It will be put on the mizan. Yes.
What's the book is open?
Their book is, this is وَنَكْسُوا مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ, what they have left behind. It's always, there is always something behind that would be written for them in their book.
The book will be given on the right hand of the priest and the left hand of the soldier.
Yes, we will come to that, and it has a very deep meaning, of course. What I mean is that this book is not something written by pen or on a paper or something like that. It is the action itself, which is somehow recorded by the angel, captured by the angel, and kept for you. And then it is organized in form of a book. The action, the pages of this book are your action, not paper. The pages of the book are your action. If you have seen Harry Potter, then you can imagine the difference. Ways that things could be recorded, and different types of pictures that you can have, or different types of papers that you can have. Now, this book is not writing the meaning of your actions or words for your actions. No, the actions themselves are there. And not only the actions, but the meaning of those actions when they come in Barzakh, when they go on the Day of Judgment, on Resurrection, how they would change meaning, how they would change reality, they're all there in that book. And these angels are very complicated, these angels who write the book or record, because we are told that we have two angels on our shoulders, one for writing good deeds and the other for writing evil deeds. And they are changed every day. It means every day these angels will become one page of our book, so to speak. And on the Day of Judgment, when you somehow turn pages, you are turning these angels. These angels are the machines which recall your actions, capture them in themselves. Not only the actions, your intentions, and whatever consequences these actions would have for others, what one word that you utter would bring about in 1,000 years' time, or 100 years' time, or the remotest person who is affected by your word or by your action, it's all captured by these angels. Very delicate and very complicated creatures of what they are. And they are the ones who record. And apparently what happens, the good and evil cannot mix in that world, in the world above. Here it mixes, good and evil. Because the evil is a byproduct. Now, there evil and good cannot mix, therefore these angels cannot take both together. One should take the evil, the other should take the good. And then, of course, they make the pages of your book. And on the Day of Judgment, when your book is given to you, it is just all these actions recorded for you. So, these messengers of God, إِنَّ رُسُلَنَا, these messengers of God, who are the angels, they record, yes.
From God's perspective, that it's actually a transfer of knowledge from the Umm al-Kitab to the actual the book of action, because it's already there in the Umm al-Kitab.
It's unfolding.
Yeah, it's actually just a transfer, basically, from one book
yeah.
to the book of action.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the best term for it is the unfolding of whatever is in Umm al-Kitab. And we have in many ahadith from A'imma alayhi salam that actually the angels recording your actions, they have a look into Umm al-Kitab as well. And they see whatever you do is exactly what is already there. And what they do, they unfold for you what is already there, kept there as the origin of all these things. So these messengers of God, Rasuluna, Bala wa Rasuluna ladayhim yaktubu, they are with us, completely close to us. And they write all these actions that we perform. The day when Allah will raise them all together, He will inform them about what they have done. Allah has kept account of it. أَحْسَاهُ اللَّهُ. Allah has kept account of it. Why they forgot it. And we are given a book to remember what we have done. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كَرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Indeed, there are over you watchers. Noble writers who know whatever you do. Now, Allah says these are noble writers. Karaman Katibin. This is an allusion to what I mentioned. These are very complicated angels. Very complicated angels. And they can, in their creation, they are so noble that they can do things that other angels cannot do. The first thing is that other angels do not know about human world, but these angels know about the human world, about the different facets of human soul, intention, layers of human intention, layers of human desire, will, everything they know. Very minutely they know about all these things. And this is the meaning, يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know whatever you do. And this is why they can record it. They can take it in with themselves. And that's why they are very noble angels. كَرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ إِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. Indeed, there are over you watchers, noble writers, who know whatever you do. Now, of course, there is a huge book of actions written by all these angels, and that's the book of human record. Then, of course, this huge book is formed, is created by books of individual human beings. For every one of us, there is a book. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا. We have attached every person's omen to his neck. Now, omen is very interesting in the Quran because Arabs believe in omen very much. Evil omen and good omen. In Surah Yasin, you remember when the prophets go to that city, they said, Inna tatayyarna bikum. We have made a bad omen out of you. You are now a sign of bad omen for us. What the prophet answered was that قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Your omen is with you. Either good or evil. It's what you do. That's your omen. There's no other thing about apart from that, above that. And here as well Allah says, your omens are with you. Whether good or evil, there's nothing outside you which makes that omen for you. It's you, your action, that makes that omen for you, whether good or evil. So, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. Who knows why omen is signified by طائر in Arabic. طائر is bird, of course. Yes?
Because in the old days, people used to look at the birds and which way they flew and where they came from.
As signs for what was happening. Yeah, and that's why Ta'ir was used, the bird was used as another name for omen. So here it says, we have attached every person's omen to his neck. Means it's uncertain. وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. And we shall bring it out for him on the day of resurrection as a wide open book that he will encounter. So that book of actions is now closed, but it's on our neck. The angels write it and put it on our neck, and then on the day of judgment we will open that book for you. You will encounter that book as it is open for you. Read your book, we tell them. اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. Today your soul suffices as your own reckoner. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك hasiba. It means that when you look into your book, that's you, and that's all. You don't need anyone to judge. You don't need anything else apart from what you are, and you are what you are. You are these actions, of course. Our personality, our whole being is, of course, carved out of all these actions. Now, this book of actions, which is given to us, it's on our neck. However, it's wide open on the Day of Judgment. It is given to us. Well, in the previous verse, Allah says that it is in your neck. It is on your neck. We unfold it for you. Here it says it's given to you either from your right hand or from your left hand. يَوْمَ نَدْءُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. The day we shall summon every group of people with their imam. فَمَنْ أُوْثِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. Again, you see the relation between imam and kitab. It's very close. فَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَقْرَؤُونَ كِتَابَهُمْ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. Whoever is given his book in his right hand, they will read it, and they will not be wrong as much as a single date says. But whoever has been blind in this world will be blind in the hereafter. And of course, all these coming together would tell us something about that book. That book would make people blind, and that book would make people to see. As action. Now, if it's already in our neck, what's the meaning of it being given to us in the right hand or in the left hand, by the right hand or by the left hand? But it's already on our neck, whether good or evil. What's the role of right hand and left hand here?
The given in the right hand, that means you for good will.
Mm-hmm.
And the given in the left hand, then it's bad will.
In fact, we don't, as I say, it's not a book that we could be given, whether in your right hand or your left hand. It's, again, a type of allegorical language, which is very much used in Arab language. Right hand is good omen, left hand is bad omen. So if you are given your book as your good omen, your actions, then of course you are prosperous. You are victorious. And on the other hand, if you give it, you are given it from your left hand, or by your left hand, it means it's a very bad omen. And your omen is your action, of course. Yes.
Do you also mean the fact that you mentioned that right now good and evil can mix, but over there good and evil will not be able to mix, so that right side, it may not be your right hand, but your good side will receive that, where you can't actually receive, you can only receive evil with evil,
yeah.
As in that left side.
Yeah, so it is something which signifies evil and good, right and left. And that's why they are called Ashabul Yameen or Ashabul Shamal, people of the right, people. Well, they say right hand of God and left hand of God. And again, it means good omen and bad omen, good action and bad action. Yes. Well, because it invokes the meaning, doesn't it? I mean, when you are washing your right hand, because the metaphor is used, the allegory is used, it invokes the meaning in your mind that, oh God, give me my book in my right hand. Because the same type of imagery is used in the Quran. And we use it, and that's very nice to use that type of imagery when we are making the book. Okay, any other question? We stop here and we go to questions and answers now.
What do you say? When
it says open book, could you say that your understanding, that the book becomes open, at the moment it's closed, because we have limited understanding,
and on that day we will have a better understanding and a more complete understanding, and therefore the book will be open.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now we have an understanding of our own personality. which is very limited in terms of length of time. Just a little time ago, we remember what we did, who we are. However, on that day, the whole life will be put before our eyes, and every moment of it, and then we can see our personality very, very clearly. We come to some verses which talk about this clearness of seeing every person's personality by their, witnessing it by their own.
So you say our understanding of the Quran changes as we go ahead in time?
What do you mean, go ahead in time?
50 years ago, people understood it differently from what they understand it now.
Well, yes,
and
of course.
And as time goes along,
there's always different understandings of the Quran. It could be changed by time, by place, by culture of people. I mean, there have always been different understandings of the Quran. Right from the beginning, after the Prophet, there were different understandings of the Quran. And yes, it can change by time. I mean, we find out that some of the understandings which were based on false theories, scientific theories, for example, or philosophical theories, are now abandoned. Because we now understand that they were wrong understandings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
There was a discussion in the beginning about good faith and evil. What people mean good faith and evil?
Sorry, I didn't hear.
The discussion at the beginning was not about good faith and evil. What people mean good faith and evil?
With God creating evil. No. Evil cannot go back to God. It's impossible that God creates evil. It would be, as we have in many du'a, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْهِ Shar, evil, never comes back to you.
Or, evil is from our perspective, right? But there is no problem to the creation of evil, because the creation of evil, after mankind, the way it does it, balances everything else. For example, you can't have somebody like Amir al-Mu'minin if you don't have evil. Yeah? You need the balance in the whole system. You can't have just good people and no evil. Because then good people aren't being threatened. So what's the problem? It's like saying that God can only be responsible for one half of this world, but shouldn't be for the other half of this world. No. I think maybe God has made it in such a way that okay, fine, the total is there, but let's be the first time it's hard to say.
Why do you need to make the other half of this world? Why can't everything?
Yeah, I mean, this is a good question. I mean, if there's the other half of the scale, then we can say, why not all two parts of the scale, two halves?
Because if you only have good, then what's the thing about being good?
Well, because,
so
I mean, what's good about paradise? Because there, everything is good.
That's
why we are bored there, huh?
Now tell me, who creates evil?
I just give you an example, okay? Yes, you want to.
No, I think you're just having the wrong understanding of evil. It's not like this is a black prophet and a white one. You can't say that. If your soul, your heart turns towards Allah, then the actions are good. If it turns away from Allah, the actions are bad, and that's the definition. I mean, you can't say killing. Is it good or bad? Well, it can be good, it can be bad. You can't control your soul is saying.
Exactly, I mean, no, exactly, I mean, killing, I mean,
no,
is it bad or good?
It's not bad, it's just the only thing you have left, and there's nothing you can do from that, that's the part. So, it depends on the circumstances. So, there's certainly a thing, it depends on the circumstances.
Another example of evil, for example, you see, all of us need food. And this desire for food is very good. Allah has put it in the appetite. You cannot imagine if you lose your appetite, what would happen? I mean, we always complain about having lots of appetite for eating things, and this is an evil thing, isn't it? But, you know, this appetite is a blessing. I mean, if you don't have appetite, what you are going to do? You don't. Now, there is appetite, there is need for food, there's food here, you have food, I have food, she has food. Now, then suddenly I say, well, how good is it if I eat that good as well, in addition to mine? That is when evil is created, you see? Nothing is evil here. It's very good. Everything is good. The food is good, eating is good, appetite is good. But if I suddenly turn my mind, well, if I just could eat a bit of that food as well, especially if they are a bit different, then that's when the evil is created. Yes?
Is it what you're saying is that by not doing good, you are doing evil?
Not all the time. I mean, evil has a type of active nature as well. It's not just passion. I mean, you take other people's food. That's it.
But refraining is a good thing, isn't it? Refraining from taking it, that's the action.
Sometimes refraining is good, sometimes it's bad. I mean,
yeah,
you refrain.
In this case, by refraining,
in this case, yes, yes, it's good. Yes,
it is a good thing.
Yeah.
By not doing that, by not refraining, you are committing an evil act.
Yeah.
But even exactly the situation, what happened when the mind turned? Shaitan whispered something, and your heart turned away from Allah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you turn from Allah, it's evil. That's all. Yes. It depends on how you define evil.
Can you turn away from Allah?
Does evil, the common understanding of evil, exist?
Yeah, of course it exists. For us. It's not a creation of Allah. It exists for us.
You can't create ourselves. You can't create evil. Okay, it can be attributable to us.
You see, you can kill someone, and that is a real action. And the power to kill that person is given by Allah. Okay? You cannot kill anyone unless Allah gives you that power. Now, you can kill that person as a sin or as an obedience of Allah. If you go to jihad, you kill someone, it's obedience. If you just murder someone, it's a sin, it's a disobedience. The power for both of them is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But has Allah committed any evil? Or has created any evil? Has created what? No, has in this instance, God has created what?
The power.
Now, what is good? What is bad? Tell me. You see, the killing. Okay, the actual act of killing. You take a knife or a gun or whatever, and just hit someone else with it, shoot at someone else. The gun very perfectly and beautifully acts. Okay. The knife very nicely cuts. And it's good. I mean, if you want to cut meat, that's very good. If you don't have a very sharp knife, it's trouble, isn't it? It's very beautiful, nicely cut. And you cut the flesh of another person, and the blood goes out, that's again a natural thing, and he dies. Where's the evil? Ah, it's you, as Safra says, it's you turning away from God.
Why do we have that will to turn away from God? Why can't our will just all be goodness? Why do we have that?
What's free will?
We have free will, right?
Then you mean we should have defined free will. That in that free will we cannot choose whatever we want. We have just to choose the good. That's not a free will then.
Why do we have that in a...
Then you are not created after the image of God. Then you are not that. Then that's the meaning of if there are not bad things or bad people, how good people could show themselves. There is a meaning for this. It comes when you say, okay, why we are not obliged to do good only? That's compulsion, isn't it? It's obliging.
Yeah.
The time is running out, sorry. Okay. Yes, it's just the final comment. Okay.